Right on.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. The NFL draft is tonight. Gonna be exciting, and we got a packed show, so I won't take too much time.
There's no question we've got a packed show. Let me begin by introducing my studio guest, a good friend and longtime Milwaukeean, lifelong Milwaukeean, who's done a lot of great things. You'll be hearing from him more and more as the election comes up. Attorney Roy Evans. Good morning to you, Attorney Roy Evans. How you doing, sir?
Good morning to you, good friend. That you say that with a lot of enthusiasm. So I guess you,
man. You know, we go way back, and we're gonna elaborate on all those things as we get into the show. But we also have a very special guest. Not that you're not a very special guest, Attorney Evans.
I'm a good friend, though.
But we've got Congressman of California's 17th District, Congressman Connor, on the line. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be on.
Did I mispronounce your name?
You got it. You got it perfectly well. I'm impressed.
Well, thank you.
Roe is fine too. It's my first.
All right. Yeah. I have a hard time pronouncing Smith and Jones and so. Thank you, sir. Let's talk about why you are in Wisconsin and what's so important that you are here.
Well, I'm a surrogate for the Biden campaign, and they wanted me to come to Wisconsin to start some of the student groups for Biden. So I've been all over the state, was in Eau Claire and in La Crosse, in Stevens Point, headed today to Milwaukee and Madison. And, you know, we see a lot of energy, enthusiasm for the president on abortion rights, on climate, on issues of LGBTQ equality and racial justice. There is concern, candidly, on Gaza and the war, but, you know, addressing students' concerns and trying to get support for the president.
Let me ask you this question before I turn it over to my guest, Attorney Evans. Youth right now and what's going on in the universities. I've been talking the last couple of days about young people in this country who are not satisfied with what is happening in this country. You and Attorney Evans and myself, baby boomers born at a time of plenty when the opportunity for the American dream was obtainable for almost everybody. Industry was around. And young people today are really concerned. They don't see the world through the same prism as you and I and Attorney Evans and more people of our generation do. And when you talk with young people, what are you garnering from their thoughts?
Well, look, you're absolutely right. I'm in between, probably. I'm a Gen X. I was born in 1976 in Philadelphia. But when my parents came here as immigrants from India in the 1960s, this country was booming. And there was a sense growing up in outside Philadelphia, going to public school, that you could make it in America. I had to take out over $100,000 of student loans. But, you know, I had health care and I had education and went to a good public school. You talk to young folks today, the most depressing thing. I asked this question at Eau Claire to a group of about 20 students. How many of you are hopeful about the American dream? Two hands went up out of a group of 20, and they tell you, look, they have no hope of being able to save to buy a house, which is the biggest way of wealth generation in this country. They think the rents are too high. They're saddled with student debt. They don't think they're going to get good paying jobs. They're going to keep up with the cost of living. And they have real concerns about how they're going to make it.
Attorney Evans?
Yeah, well, yeah, my parents came to Wisconsin in 1947, right after the war. My dad was in the war, and we came to Wisconsin because they didn't want to go back to Mississippi. And for the first 2 years of my life, we had to live in a trailer camp for black veterans because black veterans could not get...
You couldn't get the GI Bill.
We couldn't get it.
I know. That's true.
And, you know, we had to live there until a house opened up. Not a house that we looked for or real estate, until it opened up. And it was totally inadequate. But we lived there for 18 years, six of us in this totally inadequate house. We didn't have a lot of resources, but we were able to, we were resourceful with what we had. And one of the things we did have was hope. Our community used to, our teachers, the preachers, everybody that we knew had hope that we would go on and get more than they had, take advantage of the opportunities that were out there. Now, there are so many resources for people to choose from. They're really quite confused. And that's part of the whole educational process now. Can we confuse you so that you cannot focus on those things that are going to be beneficial to you in what you're trying to gain as a student, whether you're pursuing a career or whether you're pursuing money, as most of them are being driven to do nowadays. I mean, we had more hope about civics, more hope about getting more and providing more, coming back to our communities. And, you know, it's a different mindset nowadays.
So Congressman Connor, let me, when you have these conversations and dialogue with these young people who think that my generation and Attorney Evans' generation should move on, and the thoughts that we have and the way we continue to run this nation is not in their best interest, even to the degree that many of them are looking to drop out of what we call the America that we knew. They feel totally frustrated. How do you connect with them, and how do you get them to understand that the key to what they're looking for us through elections and through President Joe Biden?
Well, one, to Attorney Evans' point, which I thought he put very eloquently about hope, and hope is different than optimism because hope has to be earned through struggle, and hope doesn't mean sort of a blind faith things will be well, but hope is sort of human aspiration. And I thought that was really an incredible story. But I tell them that, look, there are a lot of people who sacrificed for us to be here. My grandfather spent 4 years in jail alongside Gandhi in the Indian independence movement. And that movement allowed my parents to be able to even leave India and get to come to the United States. And it inspired Dr. King and the civil rights movement. And I was colleagues with John Lewis, who was beaten on the Edmund Pettus Bridge so that people could vote. And what you have now is a Donald Trump who wants to take back 50 years of progress on women's rights, on voting rights, on equal rights for communities. And it's up for to their generation to be willing to stand up for this progress unless they want to get into office after Donald Trump. And then you have a country that's 50 years backwards. And then I, look, empathize with their issues. The costs of education in this country, the costs of owning a house, the costs of rent are higher than when I was growing up. And so, you know, their concerns are not invalid. And we've gone, by the way, in income inequality from about number 50 in the world to number 128, where China is at 77, Western Europe's in the 30s. I got a district, Silicon Valley, with Apple, Google, Tesla, NVIDIA, that's worth $10 trillion. And all the wealth seems to be piling up. Yet a lot of other places have been left out. And I say those are real concerns that we've got to address to give more people a shot at the American dream.
Well, and I think you pointed out that students don't have to struggle that much as they complain about struggling, but, you know, this is not the struggle. I think a lot of students lack a knowledge of history. It's just like my growing up, my parents from South, I used to go to South every summer to stay with my grandparents. And my grandfather was a janitor at a white church. And I used to go to to work with him, and he couldn't go up the front steps. And I didn't understand it as a little boy. I was just having a good time down south with my grandparents. But to make a long story short, when I got a little older doing some research on my family, I come to find out that my grandfather had a mathematics degree. And because he was black, he could not vote and he could not teach. And that anger in me, that was during my Afro-militant days, really made me angry. But I could always remember my grandmother saying, you know, to get even brings you a lot more satisfaction. So when I go into the voting booth now and can't vote for somebody, I'll write my grandfather's name in as a connection.
I love that.
As a connection to his struggle, and it gives me the motivation to want to teach that to students, because I do a lot of teaching. I'm on campuses and going to schools and teach all the time. And I think we are not making a good enough transition between getting older and getting old.
So let's do this, Attorney Evans. Congressman Khanna, you where are you going to be appearing in Milwaukee today?
At the campus, the University of Wisconsin campus, both in Milwaukee and in Madison.
And in Madison. And so you've taken on this task. Why?
I want the president to win. I think this is a hugely consequential election. Everything we've worked for in terms of climate goals, in terms of trying to get the John Lewis Voting Rights Act passed, in terms of standing up for abortion rights, all of that is at stake. And, you know, I just want to say one more thing to Attorney Evans's grandfather's story. I mean, the singular achievement of the African-American community in overcoming slavery and Jim Crow and still having hope is why it's sort of the conscience and aspiration of what America can be. But when you talk to young folks, they say, look, there's been a lot of struggle. Yes, they need to have more appreciation for it, but the expectation now is of equality of opportunity. And there's probably a less patient generation, but they say, you know, how long are we going to struggle? Now we need to make sure that these things are happening.
Hey Congressman Khanna, I want to thank you very much. We want to extend the invitation to you at any given time to join us in this quest, because we most of us know what we have to get done.
I appreciate both of you.
Thank you.
I appreciate
you
helping share your story.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's right. Congressman Khanna. When we return, Attorney Roy Evans and you.
You got to educate them.
I try to do the music every day.
But that is the common denominator in music.
I saw the look on your face. You were trying to, hey, those first few bars.
Yeah, no.
I know that song.
Yeah.
Right,
I live by that
back
song.
To the Earl Ingram Show, as always. Play that a little bit longer, Jack. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. My guest is Attorney Roy Evans. Attorney Evans, what was happening in your life when this came up?
Oh, man, please don't even take me back there. My best music is still on 8-track and reel-to-reel. Music is a common denominator.
Yeah.
You know, music, I know when I went to Lakeland College in the early 60s, you know, music was the thing that overcame a lot of the differences that we had. You know, we allowed it to be the glue that brought us together. Some, you know, you get tired of Sonny and Cher, you know, and a lot of the other things, and you want something new and different. And I think back during those days, and we were talking about the 60s, and we go back even further than
right,
that.
Right.
I went to high school with your
older brother.
Your sister, Linda.
Right.
She and I graduated from North Division together, and I work with your older brother. So I've known your family.
Right.
And it was so easy to know the family because we were right there together as a larger family, meaning community. Now community means you live way out here and you live way over there and you do your thing and you do your thing. And that the reinterpretation of all that, like community, there's something totally different now. Community doesn't mean the same thing.
So Attorney Evans, one of the reasons why I think it's so important to have you on is because you and I can go back to a time when our community was safe. Ooh. We lived in one of the safest communities in the entire nation. We lived in a community that had one of the highest standards of living for black people in the entire nation, in the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And every time I tell people, they think of Milwaukee today.
Yeah.
And they say, well, you know, 53216 is the worst zip code in the entire nation. And it may be that.
Yeah.
But there was a time.
Yeah. Again, like I said, and most of our parents came up from the South and wanting something better, you know, after the war. And we were segregated into small areas, which was a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing was about it, we had each other. And we had a lot of support. Our teachers supported us.
We ran our education system.
I was going through our yearbook the other day, looking at all of the people who are no longer with us.
Right.
But one of the things that impressed me was we had all these clubs. We had all of these expectations. We had all of these things that we could be involved, which helped to educate us as to why it's important to not throw garbage on the ground, why it's important to respect your elders, why it's important to get an education. We had all these things to reinforce, like the social centers and the playgrounds.
And to do for self.
Well, that was in there, but yourself was a part of something bigger than
right.
you. And it's just like I learned going to the North Division, having lived in Lincoln's district.
Well, most people who are listening don't know what North Division is.
Well, North Division is a high school. And at the time I graduated, it was the only black high school in the state of Wisconsin because of the segregation patterns. We had Lincoln High School and a couple other high schools, but North and Lincoln, as many old timers will remember, would always go upstate, take the basketball championships. And then what they did was they changed it where North and Lincoln had to play each other going up. And then they did some other things too, which was part of what was done to the African-American community, you know, to take away that power of unity and expectation and insert other things in there which create the problem that we people talk about and like to dwell on.
So, you know, Attorney Evans, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, many reasons, but especially now, during the civil rights struggle, you were on the campus.
You
were on campuses and protests existed because of what was happening with the civil rights struggle.
Well, not only civil rights, Vietnam.
Vietnam. Right. So all across the nation on college campuses, unrest took place because of the Vietnam War. So explain to me today, Attorney Evans, why protesting is being controlled and people are being shut out and their voices shut down. What's different?
It wasn't unrest, it was discomfort. Okay. We weren't comfortable and we thought that education would help give us some comfort by understanding what all of these things mean and what they were connected to. Now I think our
but they were allowed to protest.
Protests were promoted
right.
because that's what education has changed. And I'm an educator. I have a master's degree in education, an English degree. I teach. I've taught in over 50 different public schools. I teach at colleges and things like that. And education to me is critically important. But education has changed. The terminology has changed. You know, we were talking about when I heard the phrase false facts as an attorney, I'll say, how in the heck can you get false facts? But then that became the language lexicon of the day and people gave that definition. Now it impacts
facts.
Or woke.
Right.
You know, what does that mean? We have, or just like affirmative action. I did a lot of work in affirmative action and discrimination. And
as an attorney.
As an attorney.
Right.
Did a lot of Title VII work. And then people came out with reverse discrimination. And I'm saying, well, that's a good thing. If you got discrimination, in order to get rid of it, you got to reverse it. But other people were taking reverse discrimination as you're discriminating against me because I'm white. And I'm saying that's not what that means. But once you take something and redefine it and make it part of what you need it to be to make, then it skews everything. Then we're not talking about the same thing. We're talking about different things.
Attorney Evans, and I really, your thoughts about what's happening on campuses all over the nation. And what I'm hearing people say is these young people don't know what they're doing. Do you buy that those people who are protesting right now with what's happening in Gaza on these campuses are doing it because they don't know what they're doing?
No, I think students are a lot more knowledgeable than we give them credit for. Although, when I was teaching this course not too long ago, and I had to wonder, where did the students come from? They could not write, you know, their ability to negotiate in their minds about different things was really different. But no, I think with all of the information sources, students are knowledgeable. See, but what has happened, I've found, is that the colleges and universities and institutions of higher learning have become a lot more conservative in their approach to because of donors.
So you've been around the block on the radio when you hear the music start playing.
Yeah, okay, I know what that means. All right, 844-967-2789
is the number. Attorney Roy Evans has joined us on the Earl Ingram Show.
Squall, best shaker in the world. Shake it on down.
Shake it down to the ground.
Baby, shake it well.
Shake it
on. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got problems. I've got problems. I can tell. It's the best sensation for your frustrations, and it never fails. Now, move your body to the music and shake it well.
Music has been the savior.
Hey, Tony Evans, you look like you're ready to get up out of that chair.
Well, that music is part of our history. You know, I'm a historian as well, and music was really, as slaves, when we're enslaved, you know, part of what we can have, the rhythms, because we brought the rhythms of the earth
drum
with us, and you can't beat that out of a person, the natural inclination of what makes them who they are.
So let's do this. So my guest is Attorney Roy Evans, good friend, and you know, he when I see you and when I talk to you, a lot of the guys that we knew and grew up with, as you stated, are no longer here.
Yeah,
and you know, sometimes I just, as I look around, things change. They don't ever remain the same. People change, and so all those people that we knew and hung around with, many of them are gone. So I always try to make sure that I continue to educate young people about what it was, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
clearly important that they know what it was so they don't think that it's always been the way it is for them now.
They only know what they know, and
right.
if they don't know, they don't have any clear understanding of.
So you're a constitutional guy, man. So, you know, I remember once hearing you say the greatest document ever created was the Constitution.
Did I say that?
Yeah, I remember. I remember hearing you say that, man. We were on a different radio station.
Well, yeah,
and so I want to I want to ask you, the Constitution. People think that verbatim, this Constitution is written in every word. Explains. You don't have to go into detail. You don't have to decipher what the words of the Constitution mean. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, as an attorney, the Constitution is the basis of everything that I do. I can go back to the Constitution because there's laws and there are cases and there are things. And the Constitution is just an interpretation. But it's an important document because it separates democracy from what they're trying to establish now and turn into a autocracy. And you need democracy. We, the people, give everybody an opportunity. But again, back when the Constitution was developed, women weren't 100% citizens. Africans were only 3/5 human. So it's a matter of interpretation. What did the founding fathers mean? And reinterpretation, because this is why you take cases. There's a big case in the Supreme Court this morning, you know, about whether there's full immunity for, and you have to test.
For presidents, right.
You have to test. And we're going through a testing period now of the Constitution to get some interpretation of who we are and what we are. And what really killed me as an attorney, and I knew things were, the Civil War was about to jump off again, was Citizens United, which allowed money to come into politics unabated, and it influences everything. That money is speech, and corporations are people. And what that means is those who do have the money can influence everything, like their influence in the Supreme Court, which influences the interpretation of what the Constitution means. So there are a lot of outside influences that are, that's why we have to fight. That's why you have both sides. We don't sit here and argue based on our opinion. When I go into the courtroom, it's the proof, the evidence, the facts. You have to have your backup. You have to have your cross references and things like that. We can sit and argue and debate about anything you want.
So 844-967-2789 is the number. Attorney Evans, interpretation, opinion. Interpretation, opinion. What's the difference between interpretation and opinion? Well, they seem to go hand in hand.
Well, an interpretation is how you look at something and come to a conclusion, you know. Okay. But opinion is based on what you feel and what you believe. I have an opinion about something. I have an opinion about you, but I don't know you.
Right.
if I had a better understanding of you, I can have a better interpretation of who you are and what you are. And that is part of our divide. We have misinterpretations of who we are and what we are. And we spend too much time looking at those narrow divides instead of saying, well, hey, we've got more in common that we should be looking at than those narrow divides. But people take advantage of those narrow divides to keep us separated.
So the founding fathers and the Constitution that people keep talking about and going back to, Democrats interpreted in different manners. Yeah. Those who sometimes who are called Democrats, now clearly Republicans who are on the Supreme Court, they see it from a completely different prism, and a lot of times it's predicated on their political beliefs. That's not what it was supposed to be.
But they're not supposed to be Republicans on the Supreme Court. They're supposed to be independent,
but
nonpartisan.
But Attorney Evans, they are.
Well, they
there are. And, well, and so how, what does that do then when you're an attorney?
Well, it skews the interpretation of the Constitution. I mean, and this is what people, Well, this is why there was a Civil War. You know, and I was in South Carolina the night that Barack Obama was elected to first black president. And let me tell you, everybody wasn't happy that we had a black president.
No kidding.
I thought the Civil War, they ran, man, I was in South Carolina. And they ran out of the gun stores. He's taken, the fever.
Right.
Yeah, and I wrote a paper after that called The Tsunami Warning, that the Civil War was about to reignite. We're in it. We're in it. The Civil War never went away. It's about power over people having power. And you have power in the hands of the powerless, you know, and they're wrecking chaos. You know, for it's just like this whole evangelical movement, which is, it's part of that, you know, to inculcate it in religion. And you can't argue against religion, but religion is based on belief and opinion. It's not fact. Nobody, I don't know anybody that ever talked to Jesus.
So are you saying when you go into the New Testament and it says the gospel according to?
Yeah, but
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and again, according to the notes.
But you got to understand and know history. The Bible's been rewritten many, many different times by many, many different people.
So I'm aware
and only certain chapters were placed in there.
But before we get so far down that road, let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Good morning. Thanks for the great guest. Listen to this. And
hey, how you doing, man?
Love it. Ed, doing good, thanks. I hope you're doing well as well. So my question to you is, you had brought up the corporations are people, and that money became speech. And I'm sure you're familiar with the 76 Buckley and the 78 Berlotti Supreme Court cases that opened those doors wide up for the open. Basically exchange of bribery, in my opinion. But first of all, are you familiar with those two Supreme Court cases?
Yeah, the Supreme Court the decisions that they make fashion my practice of the law.
Right. So you know, what we've done, and I'm curious if you can back this up as well, is we've tied that, specifically those two cases, with the creation of the Federalist Society through the Heritage Foundation, which in turn picked all, you know, they're in charge of picking judges. No. Are you familiar with that case?
Quite familiar with that.
Yeah, very good. And Sheldon Whitehouse's Alarm to America called the scheme that brought all these details out to light. Yeah. My question to you, sir, is why in the world is the Sheldon Whitehouse scheme of the capture of our judiciary such a hidden secret from the public?
Well, there's a lot of things.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, thanks, man. There are a lot of hidden secrets from the public. The public is not that. Well, we get our education from sources that make us feel comfortable and make us believe that we know and understand, when there are a wide variety of sources. It's just like in law, when I have a case, it's important for me to not only take the position in defending my clients and knowing all the laws and nuances that go into my case, I have to know the other side just as well, to know the strengths and weaknesses of that individual's case, so we could come to some understanding and conclusion based on the facts, the proof, the evidence, the history of the Constitution. But again, you mentioned a lot of things, the Federalist Society, the Supreme Court decisions. There have been a lot of them, Plessy versus Ferguson, and, you know, a lot of decisions that have come down that you really have to study to understand how they impact how we function today. And people don't know and understand. What people look for is for, they go to church so preachers can tell them, so they can feel, so that they can believe and then inculcate this into their understanding of the world, which is very limited. That's why it's important to have these types of discussions in order to get a different perspective. we reject different perspectives. We like to argue and debate different perspectives while protecting our own. And sometimes we don't like to be vulnerable when we're in discussions about something that is foreign to us or that we don't know or don't understand. You said a lot of things that could take each one of them, and we can go all day in discussing it, but I'm glad we had an opportunity to at least touch base on that subject.
All right, 844-967-2789. Hang on the phone lines, Attorney Roy Evans on the Earl Ingram Show.
How we talk.
Yeah.
I mean, the church songs. That's how we communicated with each other.
To help my troubles away.
Yeah.
And when the words you say won't do, she'll try kiss her.
Now rap nowadays. Hey, I don't even know what it means.
Hey, the power of those voices.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Mine. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My good friend Attorney Roy Evans is in the studio. We'll go right back to the phone lines. Tom, thank you for hanging on. You say what? Tom from L.A.
Absolutely. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And the more people that start realizing that, the bigger change that we can have. Also, just to respond, first off, amen to this man. This man knows everything. I mean, it's incredible.
So Attorney Evans. Attorney Evans.
Yeah, Attorney Evans. I'm sorry, Attorney.
No
Evans.
Problem.
Attorney Evans is absolutely incredible, and he's like a cohort to Tom Hartman. So I really, really appreciate that.
I'm flattered.
What I want to say is that the reason why a lot of people don't know about Citizens United is, we have to remember, the media gets money from advertising. So the thing is, if they're talking about getting money out of politics constantly, which is my biggest issue that I have, and I think it's the one that actually holds everything else that's happening, because of the fact the way they set up this system through Citizens United, Buckley versus Vallejo and First National Bank versus Blatty. But the media does not want people to know about all of these commercials that are happening, and that they actually can do something about that by getting money out of politics, by actually following the party that has HR1 that was to get money out of politics. And, if they were focused on that, if the media were laser focused on that, a lot more people would know about it. And the thing is, they're not, because maybe civic media is, but the other big corporate people are not, because that's where their advertising dollars come from. And they don't want to cut those advertising dollars, just like they wanted, like the Republicans wanted to kill the unions in Wisconsin, because they knew that that was a major funding source for the Democratic Party. So, you know, this has all been a 50-year thing. And, you know, Ronald Reagan started this back in the 80s.
So, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to John from Boaz. Good morning to you, John. You say what?
I love your show, Earl. You are talking about Wisconsin and politics. Well, let's change, put it in neutral once and talk about the birds and the bees and the Wisconsin trees, because there's so many people. We have right now, Earl, we have maple trees that have little lime green flowers on them coming out. That's what Wisconsin is. It's a tourism. Like,
so John, I get you, you know, and I do have, from time to time, a farmer, who I'll reach back out to, and let's see, we'll get her back on. Calvin, I can't remember her name.
Julie De La Terry.
Julie De La Terry, who has her own organic farm, and I have her on from time to time. So, John, I will do that. I'll bring her on next week, and I'm glad you reminded me. Let's go to Bill from O'Connor. Well, good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Well, you slammed another grand slam, Earl, today. The Heritage Foundation, the Federalist Society, they had an impact, and there's a reason. And Act 10, let's underline and put in bold letters, Act 10. That's why Wisconsin went to, from being a world-renowned university to almost the toilet, and now it's coming back up. But we have to expose the Federalist Society. We got to take that Hans Chomsky from the Heritage Foundation head on in a debate. And if they don't debate, they prove by lack of communication who they really are and how they hide behind a name like the Heritage Foundation and Citizens United. All these are in the Federalists, all this stuff. They're hiding behind the truth. And if they're willing to debate the truth, I'm willing to talk to them. But if they're just like Dan O'Donnell, he won't let me on the air for one reason.
So, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead, Attorney.
You know, your last callers are hitting up on bits and pieces. And I think, Bill, and you had the congressman on early. This election is so crucial and important to exposing the Heritage Foundation and all of the money that has gone into changing the landscape of our politics and our world. It's influencing our universities now. You know, I'm just amazed. And I used to go to college in 1968 in Waukesha, Mount St. Paul College here. I used to work in Brookfield, third African-American to ever work at Brookfield Square. So I'm familiar with, and went to Lakeland College in the 60s. So I'm familiar with Wisconsin. And I think this election will reveal some things, because it will allow us to challenge those things that exist. If this election goes the way that all the energy that has been put into Citizen United and co-opting the Federalist Society and things like that, if we allow them to prevail, I think we will be set back so far that it will be anarchy. It would be just too difficult to come back. That's why this election is so critically important. The Civil War is on. If you haven't seen that movie, you need to go and see it, because it is the clash of what this country is all about. Do we want to maintain the power in the hands of a few to own the corporations, to own the coal, to own the politicians? Well, that's what politics is, money.
Right.
Politics is influence. Politics is power. And when you have money, you have power, you have influence. if you're poor, you know, it's difficult for you to do anything but be frustrated because you're poor.
So that's my problem. I got to figure out a way to get some money.
Well, I don't know if money's going to solve it.
So, Attorney Evans, we gotta leave it there for okay, now. But right. I promise you, we'll have you back on soon. That's my good friend, Attorney Roy Evans. And up next, it's Thursday, and that means Thursdays with In the Pharmacy with Doc, with pharmacist Omar, the pharmacist, on the Earl Ingram Show. Just